Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, folks, time for the Manny Diaz Show, brought to you by J&K Roofing. J&K Roofing has been serving South Florida for 30 years, repairing and installing new roofs. If you got a leaky roof, call J&K at 954-961-ROOF by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And by Kendall Toyota, the model year end sales event is here. Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota, 0% financing for up to 75 months. Call 305-KENDALL today. And joining us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline is the head coach of the University of Miami, Manny Diaz. Good morning, Manny. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. How are we doing?
We're doing good, Coach. Lot to get to. I know that the game and people are fired up here in South Florida. Looked at the text machine. I know you've heard it all. What? Not just the game, but overall the 6-6 season. After feeling like you had a chance to have a really good team, you end up 500 with some real disappointing losses in there. What are your thoughts on this team overall now?
Well, Joe, when you and I spoke for the first time last January, you know, after I was named head coach, I said there were three clear areas that we had to improve on to get this thing going. Number one was the culture, which really is inside the weight room, which to me we have accomplished that. I think David Feely's done a great job with training our guys, understanding the way that our guys work and everything that's going on down there, and I think that even translated to the effort that our team played with this past weekend coming off of the FIU game. Second was recruiting. We had to transform the way that we are recruiting, which I think we have. This 2020 class, which, you know, I'm on the road right now. I already had three in-home visits last night. They are, not only are we excited about who these guys are as players, but their reaction to, you know, these past couple of games is not just that, Coach, we're sticking with you. It's, Coach, we're coming in to be the difference. They have a group chat together, and these guys are—I mean, they are on fire. I mean, it's not a just, well, yeah, we're hanging in there. Like, well, Coach, wait till we get here, and you'll see this class is going to be the change at Miami. So I'm excited about where we're going recruiting wise. The third thing that we had to correct is we had to correct the offense, and we had to correct it specifically within that the quarterback position, and I think that's the most disappointing part here in the last couple of weeks because of the inconsistencies, you know, and that's the part that I'm taking a step back and looking at, because you look at us and you say, well, who are we? You know, what are we on offense? I mean, are we the bunch that, you know, scored 52 points and set school records against Louisville? I mean, the way that we looked against Florida State, I mean, you saw a young, I mean, we talked about this just 3 weeks ago. You know, we know we had a bunch of young guys on offense that were, and our growth curve was trending up. We had things going in the right direction. And then you look at the way that we finished the final 2 weeks, you know, not being able to score in the first half against FIU, you know, starting the game with all the three and outs at Duke and not being able to, you know, all we needed was a touchdown in the third quarter of the game on Saturday, and that thing may turn into a rout because we were, I mean, defensively, we were in complete control of the game. So that's the part that where we sit here. And again, obviously, quarterback play, which was, you know, very inconsistent. You know, we've had guys in and out of the lineup. So that's a part that's the biggest disappointment and the biggest letdown. And that's where my attention is because it's my responsibility to get it fixed, and I will get it fixed.
Let me ask you about a couple of these topics, and I just want to motivation and effort. Are you happy with that?
Our team played. I told the team in the locker room we came to play. Our older guys came to play, and again, like I mentioned, a lot of this is measurable even by the way that we practiced last week. But we did. I mean, I cannot fault the effort of our guys. I can't fault the strain that we play with, which now comes down to, okay, if our guys brought it, you know, which they did, and that's undeniable. Okay, then why did it look the way that it looked, and why did we struggle to move the ball the way that we did? We played Duke a year ago. We lost the game to Duke a year ago, and I can pull out very distinct clips of a lack of effort on special teams. I can pull up very distinct clips of a lack of effort on offense, and those were the things tied to. And this is no small thing. I would be more concerned if I had to fix that. Because that's the thing that we had no chance without that. We have got that established. Okay, but now if our guys are giving us that, then we've got to do better. We've got to find better ways to get them in position to succeed. You know, and that's what I've got to get done.
So that would be the second part. Lead me into talent overall, Coach. It just doesn't look like you have enough talent for the big playmakers and those people. Would you agree with that? This roster needs to be upgraded?
Well, there's no doubt it does. And again, what we have shown is the inconsistency of the playmaking ability. It was very simple. I mean, again, Duke's going to play press cover one, and they're going to play press cover four, and you got to run away from guys, and you got to make some plays. And there's a lot of things that go into that. And we have struggled with that against teams that have played us similarly this year, whether that was Virginia Tech. Georgia Tech was somewhat similar in that vein. So, but the main thing is this: we have good players on this team. What we have to find the way to, and this is what speaks to this recruiting class. We've got to upgrade the competition, and we've got to start creating a sense that if I don't do it, somebody else is going to come behind me and take my job. And that's something that we have to just stack recruiting classes on top of each other. And that's not a Miami issue. That's an issue of everybody that's trying to climb this mountain to get back up into the top five of college football. You have got to stack recruiting classes on top of recruiting classes so that there is a competition in practice, and that's where the consistency of performance comes in. And that's where you say, well, gosh, this guy on one week looks like this, on another week it looks like that. And that's what you can't have. You've got to have it where it's the same guys every week pushing themselves, and that's, again, this is straight off of, you know, what's always worked at Miami in the past.
Coaching and schemes, does that have to be evaluated, Coach? The guys, are you not matching up schemes and maybe the way you're teaching things with certain guys to get the most out of them? Is that something you look at?
Oh, Joe, everything has to be evaluated. I mean, there's no doubt, and that's where it would be easy. And that's why I said, I mean, the point where, you know, that I've got to be thorough is if it was just constant issues, then that's one thing. The inconsistency, you know, and then trying to get into, okay, and what is it? Where are the trends? What are the situations that we struggle? You know, what is there certain things that we go up against that we struggle? So yeah, again, that's where you got to be thorough and looking at all the aspects and all the factors that are out there.
Coach, one thing over the last couple of years that was consistent with this team was the defense. What have you seen just on tape or film or throughout this entire season that the team has just gotten very inconsistent on defense and it hasn't been the same team? It's just been the last couple of years. Outside of a couple of guys going pro, we know that. But outside of that, like what do you think is the biggest problem with the defense right now?
Well, when you step back and you look, you know, again, now we've got a 12-game resume on this year's defense, and you look at our numbers. We were top 20 in just about every category. Again, you look at, you know, you're back up in the top five and tackles for loss and sacks and all those type of things. A lot of the things that look the way that we've looked here over the last 4 years. Our pass defense numbers even trended up as the year went on. We obviously had some poor games, some outliers. We missed. You know, look, we flat out, there was going to be a slight regression on defense this year because of just the players that we lost the year ago. But when I watch our season in a microcosm on Saturday, our defense gave us a chance to win. You know, I mean, Duke gets a 45-yard drive for their first touchdown. The game was very similar to the game last year where it came down to field position. We come out in the third quarter for the second week in a row, mind you. Because in the FIU game last year, which, by the way, their first touchdown was on a short field after a turnover. So we know the value of field position. We come out in the FIU game last year, 2 weeks ago, and in the third quarter completely shut them down. I'm not sure they had a first down. I think we did the exact same thing to Duke. All right, and in that time, the offense gets the ball on the long punt return by K.J. Osborne, and then on the strip sack, that Nestor Silveira recovers. A touchdown at that point that puts us up by 10, and we may run out of their 20-point winners. To be honest, those guys physically, in the way the game ends up looking, and you know, as the final two drives of the fourth quarter, those guys, we made some errors, but to be honest, those guys wore down physically and they wore down mentally. But they're watching, and it's hard for those guys. You know, last year's defense was so special in terms of their resolve. I mean, it was very unique with the type of leadership we have. The last 2 weeks, they've had a hard time watching, having to go out there and basically play with no margin for error. And when Duke again scored a touchdown on a short field, both of their touchdown drives were 40-some-odd yard drives, and they got to be 20-17. They couldn't make the other crucial stop to keep us in the game. So, you know, would I like us to have been better? Of course I could have, but there was an expectation that with what we lost a year ago and what we had, our numbers went from the top five in defense to, I think, we're 16th or 17th, or something like that. I mean, we're still playing very good defense at Miami with the expectation of continuing to recruit and continue to find ways to get better.
Coach, let's go back to offense. The offensive line, I know you had some guys banged up, but dead last in third down in the country and almost last in sacks, I think, allowed in the country. I mean, those are numbers, as you know. I mean, you can't – that's a tough one to overcome. You can't keep drives going if you can't convert on third down. What are the biggest problems? Is it talent-wise offensive line? Is it – how do you get that whole thing flipped around? That's a big one when you start talking about dead last in college football. Talk about those.
Yeah, Miami can't be dead last. I mean, that can't be acceptable. And that's why I say so – you've got to look at everything that goes into that. I think it's oversimplistic to just put things on the offensive line. You know, what are the situations that we're getting into? What are the down distances that we're getting into? What are the chances that we're taking? Are we putting ourselves in negative situations? But again, that's something that we have to own. And I think it's unfair to just say, well, you know, we'll just point that at that offensive line and say, you know, that's on you guys. That is a global problem we have to fix.
Coach, the other one is now that the season's over and you end up last game, Nikosi Perry gets a chance to play for Jaren Williams. Do we have a quarterback going forward, or what happens now at the quarterback position? What's your thought on that with these two guys and bringing somebody in maybe to upgrade this thing?
Well, that's what we talked about, and we're sitting here 3 weeks ago thinking that there's no doubt that we do, and that's why the phrase that keeps coming up over and over again is consistency of performance, and is this a factor of youth, which it could be, and something that you mature your way out of? Is this a factor of, you know, or is this part of the of who you are? So, that's why I circle back to the conversation we had 11 months ago. We're going to do whatever it takes to get the quarterback position fixed. We have seen in those young men that they, you know, when locked in and engaged and we got it humming, can really be special. But Miami is a place where we've got to do it week in and week out. So as we have to do, we've got to do, as we have to create competition, we got to do whatever it takes to get the quarterback room up and running and leading our offense.
Coach, the big play, I thought when we got Jeff Thomas and Mark Pope and guys like that, I thought, man, everybody, a lot of people recruited those guys. They got recruited by everybody in the country, and yet we just aren't getting consistent big plays out of them. Those are a couple guys. How do you feel about your whole receiving core, especially with Osborne now is going to be done? Who are the next guys, or do you have to go find them?
Well, both. You know, I mean, I think the guys on our roster. You know, you mentioned Pope. Obviously, D. Wiggins emerged as the year went on. Mike Harley, you know, is so solid. Jeremiah Payton is a guy that we really think has got a big future. Who's been in our developmental group. You know, this fall, we are recruiting. We like the wideouts that we have coming in. And then to your point on the big plays, what I go back to again is the inconsistency. You know, they're there, and when they've been there, and I think that's why I go back to the Florida State Louisville weeks back to back, where you say, wow, like this is becoming a unit. You know, you see,
right,
you know, the post to Jeff and the post to D, and then you come back Louisville week, the game the following week, and you see the same things, and the shots. You know, we've hit Pope on a couple shots this year, but it's not been consistent, and I think that's what's caused some of the sort of the sputtering starts and stops for us offensively.
Coach, what's the story right now with Tate Martell? Everything okay with him personally? Like, I know he's going to be off and probably not around for the bowl game too, but everything okay with him and this team?
That's actually not for sure. No, we Tate and I spoke about 10 days ago about him, you know, sort of getting right here in the 2 week period of our last two games. So again, it's on him, and when he feels like he's got his mind right to come back, we're ready for him. So, and I hope it is for the bowl.
Coach, the recruiting aspect coming off these last couple of games, has it affected things? What's it been like? I know you've talked about about a couple guys recently that really jumped in and said, "Hey, we're not going anywhere, man. We're going to stick this thing. We want to get it turned around." What's been the overall from the group of guys you're recruiting? What's been the feedback?
Extremely positive. And by the way, you know, who doesn't love early opportunity? And who doesn't love the fact that we're going to have a heck of a competition for playing time this spring? The great thing about this recruiting class is we have, I mentioned how, you know, we like the guys' talent. We love their mentality. The other great thing is that the majority of these guys are mid-year enrollees. So we have a chance immediately to inject, you know, 14, 15, you know, somewhere around there guys into our roster on, you know, January 13th. And get those guys in our weight room, to get those guys in a spring practice, and, you know, to get those guys understanding what we're trying to accomplish. And that to me is the part that's got me fired up. This 2020 class, you know, as I've mentioned, not just their skill set, but their mindset, I think might be the thing that really makes them special.
Before we let you go, Coach, there was one other thing. I wanted to ask you, somebody said with breakdowns, is it a smart team? You feel you had a pretty smart team, or are there too many mental mistakes?
Smart team or too many mental mistakes? We are.
You get guys freelancing or guys forget when there's an adjustment made by the other team, and all of a sudden guys are out of position. What would you say overall on that topic?
When I try to think of you know, empirical evidence, you know, of you know either counting it through missed assignments or
right.
I don't necessarily see that. You know, okay. I think in defense, we had some coverage issues at the beginning of the year that to me went away as time went on. Even our issues with guys up front, you know, I thought we would know who to block. You know, there were times of whether we were capable of it or, you know, that's a different story, but, you know, I didn't see a lot of, you know, just free runners coming at our quarterback. So no, based off the evidence, I'd push back on that a little bit.
All right, Coach, thanks for your time.
Coach, thank you.
Okay, guys, have a good week.
All right, this is the Manny Diaz Show brought to you by J&K Roofing. J&K Roofing has been serving South Florida for 30 years, repairing and installing new roofs. If you got a leaky roof, call J&K at 954-961-ROOF by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. And by Lexus of Kendall, the model year end sales event is here. Exceptional prices on the all-new Lexus UX, RX, NX, and IS, all at LexusofKendall.com and Lexus of West Kendall.
All right, welcome back, and good morning, everybody. Manny coming on. But I just want to say this to everybody about the Manny Diaz stuff, because we're getting the text machine, and people are saying fire Manny, and you want him out and everything. He's got a big recruiting class of guys he's been recruiting and zeroed in on. Right now would be a really real, just for everybody out there, get past your emotion and the 6-6, because now, and I know it's not easy to do, he got zero in, especially considering 80% of the top players are going to sign next week. So it would be the dumbest thing you've ever done, ever, to fire him right now. Just be stupid. And by the way, he's not getting fired after year one. As disappointing as it was and everything else, I'm dying to see once they get their recruiting class and he gets back into spring gets closer, to see if he makes changes in the coaching staff, how many changes he makes with this team, and which guys that he comes back with. So I would just say that. But like fire Manny right now, okay, you want him to leave the home he just left, or can he finish recruiting and trying to lock up this recruiting class? It's just, once you step back and you're not all emotional, and I get it, man, 6-6 at the U sucks. And this has been going on for a long time, and it's frustrating, except for that little 10-3 tease that Mark gave us. It's been a lot of bad seasons. They've been going on a long time, yes. Seems like UM has been stuck at 500 for a long time. But you can't do, right now, when you're going out and you've zeroed in on these guys for all this time, you can't. He's got to get the best players he can, because if you get rid of them right now, all those guys take off, and you lose a year.
Well, you see what happens in Florida State also. They got rid of their coach, and how many guys, you know, said, I'm now back in the recruiting game. You know, respect my decision. And Miami lost to FIU the other week and three kids overnight. You know, and I know that we don't believe in verbal, you know, commitments as much until they write their name on paper, sign the facts, whatever the case may be, that's fine. And, yeah, this would be a destructive thing for the university, whether people want Manny here or not, if you got rid of a guy right before, of course, signing day. But do you think it's a schematic thing with this team right now? Do you think that it's a – because a lot of the text messages coming in are,
I think,
fire Dan Enos, fire Blake Baker.
I think some of it's coaching, yes, I do. I do think some of it's coaching. And not that – I give him my opinion during the coaches show, but yeah, I think some of it's coaching. I think when same things pop up over and over again and you don't make changes and it's kind of like, this is the way I do it and this is the way we're going to do it and it doesn't work, you got to change some things. Yeah, I do. I hope Manny, and Manny seems to be open to all this stuff once he gets past, but right now, he's not worried about X's and O's right now. He and by the way, can't even his coaches. This thing's about zeroing in on getting the best players. And some have brought this up, and I should have brought it up, and I didn't have a chance to do it because we ran out of time, is he's really wrapped up in this Dade Broward and Palm Beach County and the surrounding area, so I don't upset anybody. The Dade Broward and Palm Beach area for recruiting. And somebody said, hey, man, maybe we need to get outside more. And I think he does. I think he's trying, and the other part of the state is where a majority of the recruiting's done. But I would agree, like, go get some big bodies, and if you have to go out to get big bodies, there's always been a knockdown here. There's not enough guys. There is a few. And honestly, the few that are highly have 4- and 5-star, they're going to different schools right now, some of them. And so that's that doesn't help things. But we'll see how everything – but to get rid of him right now is just
– Well, it's just stupid to do.
It's easy to do, fire him, you know, and he sucks, and fire him. Whatever, we're glad you're passionate. We are. And I would just say, like, recruiting, National Signing Day is coming up next week, and it would just be a really, really bad time, considering 80% of those guys are going to sign on the first signing date, and then you try to pick up. Then there's two other parts. There's the 20% left, or 25%, or whatever it is, and then there's the transfer portal, and the graduates that have 1 year left, and Manny will look into that. By the way, that's an interesting one too. How many of those guys really made an impact on the team that you're going, wow, we got to keep getting some of those guys to upgrade the team, because there's going to be guys transferring out of every school.
Well, the biggest one this year you had to say is Osborne, right?
By far.
Not even close, right? Like it's, and I thought Trayvon Hill would be a little bit more on the defensive line too, because he had a really good season at Virginia Tech before he came over here. But, yeah, that's
– and he's playing in the Senior Bowl, so he's got enough on tape that the guys at Senior Bowl said he can play. But – man, I got to tell you, just looking at how many guys had really – remember that 1 year they had all those guys on defense? You're going, how many guys played well, and you were naming running backs, and you're naming all those guys on defense. This year, like, who's the MVP of the team?
It's a great question.
Is it young kid Russo got a lot of his sacks in a short period of time, but it's DJ.
DJ Dallas, Osborne, Russo.
It's
I mean, how many guys on defense?
Even your tight end, who you really like, right. He got banged up, right. And he just missed so many games after. And I do agree the two tight ends are really good and whatever else they might bring in.
But I think you asked a good question about Jaren Williams. I think the Jaren Williams situation is something that we thought maybe three or four games in the season might have been the answer. I think a lot of people thought, wow, you did find a quarterback. Look how well he's playing. He has fully regressed since game three or four.
I think he,
it's an open competition again going into next year.
He's back, and listen, he pretty much said it. I don't know, for you that follow the recruiting, he's got to go try to upgrade that position and get somebody else. And, man, what a disappointment after all those touchdowns and a couple of games. And then, for some reason, you play FIU and Duke, and it's
just disaster.
Who was that guy? Anyway, and by the way, it's hard to play when you have no time to throw, too, just to be fair, too. An offensive line is – thought they were coming. It was the whole thing. Like, oh, the offensive line's playing better. Oh, good, man. Quarterback's playing. Oh, bad. Oh, great. Big plays are coming. And then, man, all together, and they're all connected, didn't go well. Anyway, we got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. A lot of stuff, including Ryan Tannehill, man.
Oh, man.
Just keeps on going. You know, I know we'll come back and talk about that and potentially what's going on in college football for this playoff system right now with Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson with dominant wins. And which one lost team might get in for that fourth position, plus the Ryan Tannehill stuff, just unbelievable, right? He's going to get himself somebody.
Someone's going to give him some cash.
Well, not somebody.
It's Tennessee.
Tennessee in on the Kool-Aid?
Yeah. They're eating it. How do you not?
$100 million Kool-Aid.
Oh, I don't know about $100 million, but it's going to be close. He's getting a two-year deal. He's definitely getting at least 2 years in Tennessee.
That's going to be like, hey, Ryan. You've been really good. Don't want to take anything away from you, but I don't know. We've seen all those videos that seen all your game. I don't know.
Burn the Dolphin videos. Look at the Tennessee videos.
He's got a really good running game with Derrick Henry. We'll come back and hit this. Special teams, Tennessee got it rolling and flirting with a playoff position right now.
It's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood, what do you got for us this morning here?
Well, gentlemen, I'd like to start off with the biggest story in sports from yesterday. Charlie Strong was relieved of his duties as head coach of the University of South Florida.
How do you feel about that?
The search will begin immediately.
Wow.
How do you feel about that?
Urban?
No.
Urban?
Willie Taggart.
Oh.
Willie is a definite possibility.
Okay.
Trying to get the band back together.
I don't even know if I should laugh at that or not.
I can hear
Willie Taggart's wife going, hell no, you ain't coaching.
No, we could take some time off. We got $17
million. We got $17 million. Dollars. We got enough money for a long time. We're fine.
So who do you think should be a good candidate for that, would be a good candidate for that job? It's a decent job, right?
I mean, you got to go for broke, man. Listen, call up Urban.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but it ain't a great job. It's just not.
Okay. That did hurt my feelings a little bit. I was hoping you'd give me like a name or something and just tell me the job sucks. But
who was the UCF coach that went to Nebraska? Was it Frost? See
Frost.
If he come back and play coaching Tampa. Man.
You think he's got a few regrets?
Yeah, he had a rough season.
Yeah. What the hell am I doing?
You can get him.
Hey, I'm coming back to UCF. No, you're not.
No, go down I-4. Just head west and go to Tampa.
And then in other coaching news here, did you see what happened with Matt Luke from Ole Miss? How he found out he was fired? He was sitting in a recruit's house, and his phone rang, and he realized he was out.
Hey, by the way, you shouldn't go to Ole Miss, but I am taking a job in Tampa.
You know, I guess I said that before about Manny. The problem is there's really no good time to fire a college football coach. There really isn't.
Right, right.
So FSU did it early, and their recruits, they just
it's gonna hurt
took off.
Next week.
You got no lead guy, and who are you going to have go out there? And they're going, yeah, who's the head coach? And you go, well, we don't know yet, but we feel good about our pro. Well, are you going to be here? Do you know for sure you're going to be here? Because right. a new coach could come in and blow all you guys out.
Right.
Matter of fact, that most likely is going to happen. Oh, okay. So there's just no good time. Or before the recruiting thing, that recruit he was sitting with, he goes, excuse me, you don't need to come to the school after all. I'm leaving. I just got fired.
Can you imagine that conversation? Excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom for a second. Oh, I've been fired. You come back out.
Because
your pie is great, but I don't think you should go to Ole Miss.
And the problem again is, if he got fired, all the assistants are getting fired because the new coach is going to want all his own guys. So all those guys you're recruiting that have relationships with one of those coaches are gone. Unless, you know, you get the two or three guys.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They're just going for the school. So, rough one. Rough one.
All right, I got a couple of NFL headlines, and if you guys wouldn't mind, I have a little bit of our favorite killer. He even talked about the Dolphins yesterday.
Oh, that's good. Then go ahead.
We'll do a little Thanksgiving for
him
as well.
He says nice things.
He does.
He says nice things about the Dolphins.
Very nice spirited guy. We'll get to him in just a second. But Ryan Tannehill continued his MVP push yesterday. 17 of 22, 182 yards, two touchdowns. Titans win 31-17 over the Colts.
All right. So, listen, he's doing great. He's doing great. But he's not taking over games and doing it by himself. He's got a great running game, and they had unbelievable special teams yesterday. Can we just be fair about this? And I'm not taking anything away from Ryan Tannehill.
Sounds like you are.
That's the way Ryan Tannehill needs to play. Doesn't need to throw it 40 times. You play him that way, you get great special teams yesterday, and the running game, damn, he's got a guy about ready to get 1,000 yards. And he is part of it. He can run. He's athletic. He can make throws.
Might make the playoffs.
Maybe make the playoffs. Anyway, I'm sorry. What else you got?
A little salty there, huh?
I'm not salty. It's just
a good team.
Sound
a little
team.
Salty.
All right. Maybe I am. I don't know.
Tiny bit.
Go ahead. What
Patriots
else you got?
And Texans, jeez. Guys. Deshaun Watson, 3 touchdown passes. He caught a touchdown pass. The Texans beat the Patriots 28-22. Surprise there.
Are you really surprised?
They need Antonio Brown back.
He's coming.
Boy,
he's coming. He keeps doing social media about New England.
They don't have a lot of firepower. Is he getting any better at the social media stuff, like getting it figured out a little bit? Where you don't piss people off or no?
Well, I think he now needs a job again. Beforehand, I think he would.
I thought
he
said
get all that money.
I thought he told Jeff Darlington he had all kinds of money. He didn't need the league.
No, I think he needs the
league. It's going to be on his terms. Well, he tried it on his terms. That didn't work out real well. Go ahead. Oh, here
yes.
it is. Here it is.
Yes.
Ready for some Thanksgiving, OJ?
Yes.
Yeah. He's thankful.
Hey, Twitter world. Yours truly. And it's Thanksgiving. And on Thanksgiving, three things come to mind. Family, turkey, and football.
Oh, no.
Oh, stop.
Oh, no.
Thanksgiving Day games. One of them against Detroit. I broke my own single-game rushing record. I ran for 273 yards. But we still lost the game. The other one was more memorable. We were playing St. Louis. We flew to St. Louis. It was snowed in. We couldn't land. We went to Chicago, landed in Chicago. They closed the Chicago airport. We checked in a hotel at the airport, stayed the night, woke up the next day. The airport was still closed. So they had us get dressed in the hotel in Chicago. The whole NFL team walking through the Chicago airport fully dressed except for, obviously, cleats and shoulder pads. We flew to St. Louis, circled, finally landed. We got to the stadium. They said, we have no time, guys. We got to get out on the field, which was tough because every football player has to use the bathroom before games, that nervous stomach. But we went out, warmed up a little bit, went right into the game, and we kicked their butts, believe it or not. We won pretty big. Like they say, any given Sunday, I guess. Hey, look, happy Thanksgiving. Have a great time. Enjoy the games also and family. I'm just saying. Take care.
Oh, God.
Man.
Oh, God.
OJ's in a really good mood for Thanksgiving.
Right, right.
Thankful. Go ahead.
All right, so some of the replies to OJ's Thanksgiving tweet, and then we'll get to his Dolphins commentary well. Happy Thanksgiving, Juice. Which knife will you be using to carve up the bird? Then a response to that, the same knife he used to carve up Ron.
Oh.
Happy Thanksgiving, Juice. Hope you and what's left of your family have a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, God.
I love family. Family is the best, especially when they're breathing.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember, OJ, the knife goes in the turkey, not a person.
Oh.
Great day to show off my knife skills to the wife. Do you get to cut the bird, Juice, neck first?
Oh.
Bad. I'm laughing. You're going to be just ripping me.
Oh, of course. It's coming. Yeah.
So, all right. So here's the story on his Dolphins commentary. So he's in that same like sports bar that he watches all of his games in yesterday.
Of course, same 12 guys. Right. Same 12
we
guys.
We had to cut. This is just the Dolphin portion of the video because it's a little difficult to hear. We got to work on his audio skills here. But here's OJ yesterday.
One other thing. Coach down there in Miami. After what management did, trading away everybody, for you to be this competitive right now, you've done a hell of a job, Coach. You guys, you players should be proud of yourself, playing as hard and as well as you've been playing. I'm just saying, take care. I hope the afternoon games are as good as these morning games. Take care.
Well,
he ain't lying.
Man, I tell you what, he's right on the money on
that
one.
Right.
Because Coach Flores is... people, I think everybody thought they were just going to get crushed because Eagles are really good on the offensive and defensive lines. And they put together one hell of a game plan, including that play they call the Mountaineer Shot.
Love
it. Weird name.
I love it.
Mountaineer Shot. You know, like, what did they call it? Shovel pass got a little bit.
I love the little flick. Yeah.
The Mountaineer Shot. And, boy, it makes you look so bad, doesn't it?
Of course.
It just looks so bad.
Of course.
I thought he was going to try to run in. I was
Me
going,
too.
Oh, Matt Hawk, you're going to get the crap knocked out of you. The deep. Oh, no. And he ran up to him, threw the ball, flipped it, and ran down. He didn't even look to see if he caught it. He turned and took off running like touchdown.
He did the swaggy piece, shot the ball, and just ran away like he made
that
it.
That was beautiful, man. But, yeah, what a great game.
I didn't even see Sanders lined up there at first. I didn't see him lined up, and I was like, what's going on here? I loved it.
I'm guilty. I didn't see it either.
I didn't see it. I'm watching on TV going, what the hell formation is this?
I looked down and looked back up, and I went, uh-oh, what the hell just happened? Crazy.
It was awesome. It worked out good.
All right, Wood.
I love this music.
We're like out of time here, guys, but really quick. So the tweet said, any given Sunday, just a couple quick responses. How ironic that on any given Sunday, OJ might butcher up two people like he did on the night of June 12th, 1994, also a Sunday.
Mm.
And then finally, his name is Brian Flores. OJ didn't know his name.
Of course not.
What do you call him?
Just Dolphins coach.
All right, that's all right.
Now he knows.
Yeah.
Hey, Dolphins, listen, Brian Flores, hey, that Dolphin head coach.
Sorry, coach.
That's something my dad today will tell me, man, that Dolphins head coach is good, man. How the hell are you guys doing that? First of all, how in the hell did you score that many points with that group?
Coaching has done a hell of a job.
By the way, coaching matters.
Right.
Ask Mike Gesicki and Devontae Parker. The greatest rehab job, and everybody, speaking of who they're playing this week, totally gave up on those two dudes.
You think those two dudes are going to want to have a big game this week in New York?
No question.
Ryan, throw the ball in the air. I'll catch it. I got it. Parker now has a little swag. Gesicki, too, got a little swag.
Oh, no. They're a little different walk to those guys, man. Yeah, there's a little confidence. Devontae Parker's story. First of all, what's the chance this ever happens in a fifth year with a guy? That he stays around and now is playing like a frontline receiver. It's just crazy. It's a crazy story. Crazy good, man. It's a real good feel-good story. We got to go to break, man. We've got a lot more stuff to get to as we roll on here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.